Hello, sweet viewers, and welcome to Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. Today, we will introduce the happy winged residents of Safe Haven Parrot Refuge and warm-hearted co-founders, Christine and Paul Foreman.
They're almost human, cause have mentality of a four-year-old child. They've got very distinctive body language, and they all get their own moods, a bit like us, really.
They're like children. They know what you want them to do, but if they want to be awkward, they'll be awkward.
Christine was enchanted by the sophisticated nature of these beings from the moment she had her first parrot.
I fell in love with macaws, and I thought I'll save up for one. And nothing prepared me for what I took on. But he was into all kinds of mischief. Everything you could believe he did. He learned how to open the fridge and used to pinch stuff out of the fridge. And he was an absolute, well, he was a fantastic character.
With boundless patience, love and commitment, Christine soon became an expert in the lifelong care of parrots. Then, over time, she took in parrots in need of a home for various reasons. Sometimes caregivers were unable to provide adequate attention, elderly couples could not provide quality care, or a new baby arrived. There were also sad cases of abuse, neglect, or illegal trade.
Safe Haven Parrot Refuge started in 1986. We took our first bird in called Cindy, a blue and gold macaw. And we had an article in the
Daily Express.
And it was all about us. And they printed our phone number, and the phone didn't stop ringing for ages and ages. And birds just kept coming in and coming in and coming in. Then gradually the volunteers started coming in, and things began to get a bit easier, because there were times when Paul and I were working, and we always made sure we had enough food to money to feed the birds, and we went without ourselves, didn't we, rather than let the birds go without.
Safe Haven Parrot Refuge provides a loving home for many birds. Some live in a carefully arranged foster home. Others are permanent residents at the refuge and are available only for sponsorship, but not rehoming or fostering.
We had this conservatory built, and it's been purpose-built for the birds. We've got special blinds to keep out the heat, and even the windows are a special one to keep the heat out, because birds suffer more from the heat than they do from the cold. But in the winter, we've got heaters out there to help them. Okay, I'll take you in, and you can meet the rest of the macaws. Mimi used to live with a priest.
Okay. Is it Mimi?
Come on, Mimi. Come on.
Here's Christine. She doesn't like other birds. When we put all the birds away at night, she always comes out and sits on the top for a few hours. When they're all gone.
This one's Cindy, and Cindy was the first one we ever took in 1985. This one's Scarlet, and Scarlet doesn't really like anybody. The only person Scarlet likes is, we have a young girl come here. She's at university now, but she was here on work placement, and Scarlet fell in love with her. She'll probably come and visit him again. And this one's Ali. Ali was rescued by a group of young men and taught really bad language, which she's since forgotten, fortunately. Over here is Kirin's. Kirin's was confiscated as an egg by customs. And his mate is Biggles, and she's probably in there. This used to have shavings in it to put in the bottoms of the cages. But they use it as a kind of a play box now. But she's right in the bottom. And Biggles' previous owners have moved to Cyprus.
Although Elwood's on the tree, and he's always lived on the tree, I've been finding him in Ali's cage in the morning, because Ali comes out and she doesn't stay in the cage. So I'm not sure whether she wants to go in the cage or whether she wants to stay on the tree. I'll have to keep up my eye on them for a while.
And when it's nice, they'll go out in the garden. And I prepare all the food, then round about 6:30 to 7, the majority of them go to bed. And once they've gone to bed, they're all quiet. This is the cage that Charlie and Coco live in.
Close up on the cage.
And within about 5 minutes of having this new cage, Coco had broken the latch off, ruined all this, picked all this off, but it's not poisonous, this is powder coating, because some cages, if they're made of metal, parrots can get metal poisoning, which is quite dangerous.
Christine and Paul are able to keep their birds in good health by feeding them a well-balanced, all-plant diet.
All the food the birds eat here is fit for human consumption. We use this tidy mix. It's got banana chips, Brazil nuts, peanuts, sunflower seeds that haven't got a shell. It's got safflower, walnuts, cashew nuts. It's a complete mix. It's got pieces of fruit, pieces of dried fruit, garlic sticks, because parrots love crisps and chips, but you shouldn't give them too many. But these are not salty, so it's a really good mix, this one. We always give them roasted monkey nuts, because unroasted ones contain a fungus, and that can cause aspergillosis, which is a lung disease, and most often it's fatal. We always buy pine nuts from a wholesaler, and they don't have shells on, so you can see that they're all nice and fresh. Because quite often, if the pine nuts are in the shell, there's a green mould inside that as well. That's all with their morning meal. And they have fruit and vegetables, and all the apples are for human consumption. They have bananas. And we buy them walnut hulls, so they get the... During the summer, we can't get the proper walnuts. We always buy a sack of walnuts for them in the winter. But until then, they have these. So they get quite a varied diet. And they have to have... these are vitamins and minerals they have. And they also have this, which is a probiotic. They have that once a week. This works really well, because if ever a bird's sick, it's a lifesaver, because... If, say, you can't get to a vet straight away, then you can feed them this in their drinking water. They'll always drink it. And if they have to be on antibiotics, antibiotics kill the good stuff in their gut, as well as the bad stuff. So the probiotic replaces what's missing. But we've saved birds' lives with this. It's absolutely fantastic. Well, here we are now. In the kitchen, we only use the kettle and the microwave to cook in, because using Teflon can be very poisonous to birds. In fact, just a whiff of it will kill them. And you get that in irons, on ironing board covers, toasters. You have to be very careful, because it is deadly towards birds. But as you can see, they must have toys. It keeps them stimulated, helps keep their beaks worn down. And a lot of people think that when they're grinding their beak, they're doing it to sharpen it, but it's like a cat purring. You know, cat purrs when it's happy. But when a parrot's happy, it grinds its beak and just sits on one foot.
Caring for parrots the way Christine and Paul do is truly demanding work and requires a lot of attention and love, which translates into a busy daily routine.
In the mornings, we start at 9 o'clock, and the cages are all cleaned, emptied, and washed out. All the tins are taken out into the kitchen, and Chris does the food and water. And the cages are absolutely cleaned out, so that they're nice and clean. And the birds, hopefully, are in the garden. It's easier. In the winter, when they're in here, they're playing on the top, and they also like come to your house to do it, which you don't always want. We finish about 1 o'clock. That's including putting the food back in. Getting them back in. It's quite a long morning, and then, of course, you've got to tidying up after that. So it's quite a long morning. And then it all happens again in the afternoon, about 4:30. And we're on until about 7 or 8, it all depends what's going to be done. If there's two things that's got to be put in, it might take a little longer. But there's always a lot to do.
We've been living with parrots, literally living with them, for 25 years now, and until I met Christine, I wouldn't have turned my head to look at a parrot. And now, it's just a way of life now. We can't go away on holidays or anything. We haven't been away for 25 years on a holiday. But this is much better, really, than going on holiday, really. Looking after these.
They bring a lot of joy, but they also bring a lot of sadness, because when one dies, it's horrible. It's sad for everybody, really. It's like losing one of your family.
Like many other conscious people, Christine and Paul strongly believe that the parrot trade should stop.
They import birds. They're still doing it, and I think it's wrong. And I've been to shows where you walk round and you see cages full of African greys on the ground. Cages packed with birds. And they're terrified, they're growling. And they shouldn't be on the floor anyway, because birds don't like being down there, not unless they go there by themselves. And I've been to shows and seen people with birds on chains on their legs, and these shows are terrible. That they should be banned, because they try and sell all these poor wild caught birds, and these birds are so terrified sometimes they'll never ever tame down, and they'll get passed from pillar to post, which is wrong, because it causes them lots of stress. They do belong in the wild. They shouldn't import them anymore.
Until the parrot trade ends for good, for Britain, the Safe Haven Parrot Refuge offers hope for birds left with nowhere else to turn, accepting them unconditionally, no matter what their story. Thank you for your company on today's Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. Tune in next Tuesday, September 27th, for the continuation of our two-part program featuring the Safe Haven Parrot Refuge and its inhabitants. Coming up next is Between Master and Disciples, here on Supreme Master Television. May your every morning be greeted with the melodious song of a feathered friend. For more information about the Safe Haven Parrot Refuge, please visit www.safehavenparrotrefuge.co.uk.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/VEG.